No man can't cut us out.
Page of rhythm and rhyme.
Your body don't carry no germs. No man.
Check the hottest properties in local dancehall. Chieftain, Sandits. Observation rhythm. Track called You a Queen. Before that, something brand new from Fire Banton featuring Big Dread, Not Giving Up. A man who doesn't give up is Sluggy Dan. Sluggy, report. Good evening.
Manners, and respect. Greetings, everyone in VOB country. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan, on the nation's number one, VOB 92.9. Lots of messages coming in. Check, they're waiting on Sir Gibbsy Dan, the agent defender, and Deanna Tavon. They tell me they are waiting to be let in. So you can make sure they come in now. If you want to see somebody
coming in.
There.
Everybody's coming
Red Meek here, 20, right? Right, cool, good. Greetings, and salutations to everyone on VOB 92.9. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. And big up Serrani for playing the music. And you know, this year I was saying this music to the young people, and then I realized that a lot of people that was young is the old people now, but still singing this music. So like, it just hit me like again. When you used to talk about the old people, again, the old people just now. So I go out and embrace the youngsters, and I'm extremely pleased to see Ronnie doing that as well. Sadison Chief Dean, very good number, sounding very, very good. And I have two young men that I have the privilege of speaking with today. One, two artistic gentlemen, two creative gentlemen. One is a chef, and one is studying film. Studying film and what else?
Nah, just film.
Okay, one and this Joshua goes by the stage name Imagine. And right. Joshua's a 19-year-old. Just introducing these youngsters to the world, cause you know me, VOB, you know that almost every time, as much as they can, they plug the youngsters, especially when the youngsters doing good, they see good, especially when they're young black boys too. You know, it may be biased. So that's my ulterior motives. Joshua is a 19-year-old, formerly Queen's College student, so salute everyone from Queen's College. And they went on to BCC and UWI, and now Joshua is in England, I believe, is in England studying film. He's only 19 years old and doing all this already and still finding time to be an artist, which is incredible, and in the creative arts. And I've studied myself, and I know extremely tedious it can be. And especially at this time, I have to be even more so. And at just 19 years old, to be so focused, to be studying, to make sure you get your degree, but still making sure you're being true to yourself and being an artist. So I just want to welcome Joshua, goes with the super kick. Imagine, just want to welcome you to the show, my brother, and thanks a lot for coming on today, introducing yourself to my audience, my brother. Salute to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No problem. And then got Kai, that's K-H-A-I, like that name. And
yes,
Kai,
sir.
Yeah, Kai, which school do you attend?
Well, I don't go to school anymore. The law school.
For school. salute the law school, ma'am. Law school, all these.
And then it went Pomeroy.
Yeah. BCC. Nice. Salute BCC. You know, it rap BCC real hard as BCC alumni to it. I did the music program there. I did the music program at BCC. So, you know, it always got a special place for BCC. So, salute Pomeroy too as well. And you are a chef by profession. Chef is what you do every day.
Yes, please.
But still you find time for the music, and I think that's phenomenal. You're still very young, so that means that you got a head on your shoulders. So I just want to thank you, Kai, for coming on DJ Rhythm and Rhyme and introducing yourself to the world and to my audience. And
thanks,
salute
you
for doing such great things. Yeah, no problem. No problem. No. How do you? I come to you first, Kai, because I know being a chef, especially if you're not just cooking, if you're just cooking rice and stew every day, you know you're gonna cook every day, but if you're gonna create different dishes and then gonna sell these different dishes, and then you have to be good all the time, because food and music and art is a very unforgiving thing. You understand?
Yeah.
Because you can't get food wrong.
Yeah, because then the customer won't be happy and it'll be problems same with music. You get music wrong, you get a lot of backlash, you don't get the sales you want.
Yeah, so the two jobs that I know have to be taking a lot on your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You got two jobs that require you to be extremely focused.
Yeah.
What brought you to the love of cooking first?
Well, I didn't want to do cooking at first. I actually wanted to be a pilot. But it was too expensive. I couldn't afford it. It was like $17,000 for 3 months to grow in school at first, and then paying like $500 an hour for flight lessons and whatnot. So it was too expensive. And I had always liked cooking, and my grandmother, she had shown me some things around the kitchen from the time I was young. So I just developed that passion, and here I am now, and I love what I do. So,
no, I like that. But it wasn't your first love.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good though that you fall in love with it, because you know, cooking is an art. That was called it, culinary art. Cooking is an art. You can't try to get it everything. And you gotta study like how you can evade these taste bugs, especially if it's things that you haven't tried before.
Yeah.
Similarly to music, when you create music, especially an artist like you who create your own music, who write your own music, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I do write my own music.
Right, good. So you are a writer. So similarly to music, you created something new for our taste bugs. When you write a song you've never heard before, you might write it in a style that's never been heard of before. You might be trying something.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have to be sharp, because you in food, as a chef, you will stand up by the dishes you do and how creative you are with your dishes.
Great.
And then in music too, similarly, you can stand up on how creative your music is, or how deep your music is, or how good it sounds, or how much it speaks to a particular topic that touches a particular group of people. So you know, they're very, very, very similar. So you say you fall into cooking. You couldn't afford to be a pilot, but you found your love in cooking, which is great. And of course, if you want to be a pilot later on, you could now pay and be your own pilot. If you want.
Exactly.
Right. Correct. So you can still pursue that dream. Now, how the love for our music come?
When I was younger, I had a little bit of vocals, and I used to like poetry, so I used to write a lot. And one of my friends, he gave me the encouragement. It was actually the SCR competition that got me into music. He said that I should go and try out for it and show the world what I could do. And that's exactly what I did. And I didn't have no regrets from then. I started my career at 19, so 3 years going strong, and I'm glad to be where I am now.
Slugger, you disappeared? Your mic is off. Got to get that mic back on, Sluggy.
Okay, it's good now. I'm good now.
Yeah, you're better now. I can hear you now. But you're not. But you're not Verizon. I can hear you.
Yeah, but before, so you said at 19, which is still young, not a late start. But before 19, you didn't have this bug didn't bite you at all.
No,
hey, good evening, everybody.
Good evening. I always used to do it, but like I never really wanted to. Like I never did it outside my comfort zone in front of other people. It was just me and my friends thing.
Wow, but you knew you could.
I knew I had talent to do it, but I wasn't.
Ready. I thought you never sing before at all. I just went and do it. So why did it take you until 19? You see, you know you had talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it took you until 19 for you to make that jump, because you didn't see the opportunities. You didn't see the opportunities in your face as much that would have made you feel inclined to do it.
Nah, it was more so of the mentality at the time.
Okay.
My friend of mine wasn't really there. at that point in time, like, the if I had the frame of mind I have now that I have back then, I'd probably be a lot better off. But the thing about it is that it's just a, you know, and how we in society right now, and you just get up, you go to school, you go to learn, and you can't really follow your dreams, and you know, just get a normal job, 9 to 5. I find that to be quite boring. So I think that you really got to get out there, and I think schools should educate children more on the skills and assets. Yes, the studying and things should always be there. I believe that the academics should always be there. But to encourage children to be more, what is the word you're looking for? To go there and chase their dreams no matter what and find a plan that suits them best. I think that that needs to be improved.
That, bro, like, I ain't gonna lie to you. You throw me in there, like real quick. Cause that's a topic, and it's your Malik Gibbsy Dan that listening, and people like Ronnie. There's a very interesting line you went down. The school should do that more. And for a boy that went law school, you know, and learn well. And then you have another young man, imagine. Went to Queen's College, went BCCUB, learn well, doing very well, but music is he love and he life as well. Then I can show you this. Then you got Gibbsy Dan, who's here now, you know, just a little older than you all, you know, he's a little younger than me. But Gibbsy Dan, Combermere. But music is his love too. Ronnie Clark went to Combermere School, music is his love too. And I love to hear when the other schools speak so much of the arts, not just music. I'm never gonna be biased, no, it can be extremely real. It can be extremely real, Kai, because the love of you see it so late when it comes from you, like that I ain't prompted or anything, you know what I mean? And it comes from your heart. Because these things like Gibbsy and Naya and other friends will speak what behind the scenes, you know, like I believe that a lot more youngsters like you feel like you. That's my strong belief. You understand me, Gibbs? They believe a lot more youngsters like he that, you know, learn good, could go and do, could go and be a lawyer, whatever you want to be, whatever the system wanted to be, or whatever their parents wanted to be. But we'll see, man. You see me? They want to put my heart into music or the arts. I believe, right, Gibbsy, that they got a lot more like he.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I used to meet them and stuff, you know, because I remember, like, back in 2014 or so.
Yeah.
Me and Devon was at something. And this youngster,
I beg up my boy Devon, and Dave Brown locked on too. You know what I mean? Real talk, big up Devon and Dave Brown. Dave Brown is nothing but love. When the go check out Dave Brown every other Wednesday, but not this Wednesday. He can give me the information and they can make sure he share it and plug it in. Go ahead, Gibbsy.
Yeah, and I remember we was somewhere and they had this youngster that was like kind of journey from a little ways off, and I saw whatever, and then he just approached slowly, right, and I saw, all right, well, I guess we can see what all this is about now. He came up to me and he was like, he was the fella from Asthma, right? And I said, yeah. He said, listen, this can sound strange, but me and my people is like huge fans of y'all. We's like study with the music and thing, and like we's be arguing over who got the best verses and stuff. Is a whole bunch of we. So I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, we listen to one of the music all the time, like seriously. So I just had to introduce myself to you. And I tell you, well, listen, I appreciate you for even coming across and saying something, because I want to know that any other way. And I went and start following the fellas and stuff. And it's a whole little group. It kind of reminded me of Tyler, the Creator. And the
All Future.
Yeah. They remind me of All Future for true. Hold it was moving with one other thing. It was amazing, Sluggy, to see that. Had this whole underground network of youngsters that point together lyrics and stuff.
Yeah,
it blew my cool, man. And I wouldn't know about it to this day if he had not come and said something to me. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of what you're talking about, Sluggy. All Future, man. The part Sluggy going?
I think Sluggy might mute again.
Yeah, he mute again.
I know about that story, right? I know about that story, Gibbsy, right? I know about that story from more than one source, not just from you and from Devon too, and, yeah. And from someone else too. But the other chilling man, you also tell a story like this. Like, you know, other youngster too, John Phillips introduced me to her son when he was at Harrison College, you know, that just last year, and get a scholarship. And but music is his love to Gibbsy. He oversees all no studying too. And music is his love too. And what I love about the generation that coming up now, that them is also see music as an intellectual subject. You understand more than our generation, Gibbsy, and the generation before us. Because the generation before us, Gibbsy, and which you could agree, and some of us, you know, some of our generation, like, music is just a thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's a hobby. Yeah. That's a, you know, a feel good. But that's not an intellectual thing. You know what I mean? It takes for people to come out and be in the creative arts and put the name on the map for me to start looking at good. You got like Dr. Stefan Walker, who's a musician. You understand, but he's
a large offset bomb for sure.
Yes, and then you got Ricky Bradford, the trumpet player, but Ricky Bradford is Dr. Ricky Bradford. You understand?
I actually worked with him on something the other day.
Ricky?
Yeah.
Magic, no.
Yeah, man, we work with a little project magic.
Yeah, Ricky's enough, no magic. Salute to Ricky Bradford as well. So then you got these people who like, force the public, no, you have to see a Dr. Stefan Walker. You know, you got to see a Dr. Ricky Bradford. Not that we should only hold those things in high esteem, but maybe the musician, and that's your title too. It started to open up people eyes to see what's really going on. And then it's salute the pioneers who did it first, like Roger Gittings got a scholarship as well, and he took the scholarship and instead of studying to be a scientist or something, he went and studied music at Berkeley. So salute Roger Gittings, you know, for making that stance, you know, and changing how people see things. But I love it when you all speak about the arts. No, Gibbsy.
Yeah.
These two youngsters here is write their own music, right?
Uh-huh.
Which is really good. And I literally got that international feel, right?
Uh-huh.
But you know, I don't want Ronnie to play this tune to Ronnie. This Van Dias too. I need Ronnie to play this tune. But before, you kept this style of storytelling. No, yeah. Don't get me wrong. Every song telling a story in some way, somehow, some form or fashion. But then there's a different art of storytelling where the song is being extremely descriptive. Now, mind you, a song might be 4 minutes, 5 minutes in most, but people don't listen to 5 minute songs anyhow. They don't ever play three. So let's say, Gibbs, you know, you find yourself where you're a storyteller, but you have to tell a really interesting story that's as descriptive as possible, but in 3 minutes. And you can't use too many words either, because you have to understand what you're saying too.
Yeah.
Where that art comes from, you know, it comes from practice as well, right? You know, it have to come from practice. But how did that develop? What do you have to do to be so descriptive within a short time? What's some of the things you went through as an artist to be able to do that, so that these two youngsters can hear?
All right, yeah. Well, the first thing is you have to always put yourself in the shoes of the listener, right?
Mm.
No, attention spans get a lot shorter since I start music.
Mm-hmm.
I make a joke the other day that the third verse done in songs now.
Yeah.
You know, I last hear third verse, boy.
Yeah.
Man was singing over the first verse before they sing the third verse.
Yeah. I ain't tell Sandro gives you, right? I can tell saying it's chop. You know, you see you make a joke, but that's not a joke. These two youngsters could tell you that's not a joke.
The third verse done.
Yeah, that's a joke. You see, you make a joke. But that's a real thing.
Plus, a lot of artists these days, like, it's not as easy for them to write a third verse, because a lot of them, like, youngsters. I know that, like, not just because you're young, that don't mean that you necessarily don't have an interesting life. But a lot of these youngsters who do like music and stuff, sometimes don't always have like everything to talk about or whatever. So like they just,
it's true,
you know, do like a catchy hook, two verses, and that's like easy. Like it's easier as well to write a song. Yeah. Mm.
Even to show the difference, right?
Uh-huh.
Von Diz is really a evolution of a song that I wrote when I was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I write this song named Mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was this Von Mada used to drive when he wrote Six Rope, mm-hmm. which is Camaro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this man used to do beer. Well, I don't want to sell you, but he used to do a lot of extreme things with the Vine.
Yeah.
And it was the number one Vine for Camaro students to catch. You understand? That was the Vine. It is ZR-103.
You don't want to sell out the man, but you just called the license back.
Ronnie, that was he is saying, Ronnie, the lady, but I want to
continue.
I write like a dub plate for Mechanic because it was a whole tribute to the man. Oh, he's driving the Vine, oh, he's got the students getting on and thing, and that song was like the first song that I ever wrote that really get a lot of attention throughout the school student body.
Yeah.
And I used to sing that song almost every day for students. I even had a teacher, large off Mr. Mears, that used to end class sometimes 10 minutes early so I could have dropped this song for the class, right?
Mm.
So Mears,
listen, them kind of things right now the story, but they kind of things so important games. They had a teacher and a child. That kind of thing is so important and pivotal in your life. I wish people would really understand that moment, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And you see that 10 minutes? Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
And he picked up that was my passion, right? Because he used to beg me to do work in class, and he would be like, Mr. Gibbs, I'll pay you $5 to do two sums. You understand?
Mm.
But he picked up that was my thing from early. So he used to be like, look, if this is how he can be more comfortable in my class, and this is how he can probably get more tune into what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I can give him a little space to get rid of this extra energy he got, and hopefully he would in turn produce sign in my class. So, mm-hmm. So I mean, Mechanic was where he started off. So that was the first song I ever wrote about catching Vine. But at that time, I was singing from the perspective of somebody that was a student, young and more enamored or seeing it in a more romanticized way.
Mm,
okay. As I get older now, obviously Vine gonna be less appealing to me as I get older. Cause I know you're moving towards getting your own vehicle, and as you get older, your tolerance for certain things is drop.
Yeah. Right.
Why would I accept at 16? I ain't accepting at 24, 25.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then people keep telling me that I need to record Mechanic officially. I'll put it up, you know, up on my YouTube and stuff like that. But I felt like, nah, man. That song was written when I was 14 years old.
Mm.
I feel like that don't translate right now to where I am in life.
Exactly.
Right. So I decided to write over a Vine song.
Mm.
I decided to write over a Vine tune, but from the perspective of an older person now, looking at it objectively and looking at it from a more critical standpoint. Mm. And I said, you know what? Too much Beijing's. There's got you too much nonsense from Vines. So let me try and write something now that can appeal to a lot more people. Talking about the difficulties that you could encounter catching a Vine. And that's why I picked two main scenarios. Number one, when a Vine too empty and it dragging all the way to town.
Yeah.
And you feel like you could just choke the driver.
Yeah.
And number two,
when it burns.
Full. Yeah. And scenario number two, when it too full and it's beer madness, all type of people getting crammed in the Vine. You can't even answer your phone if it ring. You're hot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the police is pull over the van and everybody's got to get out and walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, madness, right? So I just try to get the full gamut of scenarios that you can see in a van.
Yeah.
So yeah, but in terms of answering Sluggy's original question, the process is just a matter of, for a song like this, it took me a while to write this song because I had to write different drafts of this song and keep fine-tuning it.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back and like trimming some of the fat off of it. So this was a process. I hear people saying, oh, I write a song in 5 minutes. I never write a song in 5 minutes. If that is a weakness, I wrote it.
Nah, everybody different, bro.
Exactly.
Everybody different.
Months to write. because they had to keep thinking of scenarios and then like trying to see what worked with what, fit the different pieces into one another, and if something feel off, put that way, try again. So it is a song that is the result of a lot of different drafts and fine-tuning the process over a period of time. I didn't rush myself because it's not like people knew that it was coming. So I had all the time in the world to just spend time with it and mold it into something that was decent before I even let anybody hear it.
And that means that you care. And that's good. Because like, a lot of people would just, you know, want to get out as soon as possible. And just rush it and just like create like there are a lot of talented people who like just kind of do like the bare minimum and are very lazy and like don't reach their full potential. But when you actually put your all into it and actually try and actually, you know, do the drafts and take your time with it, like patience can be equal like beautiful art, man. Like, so that's respectable. That's respectable.
And I want to say something else too. Mm-hmm. You remember back in the day, Sluggy, I'm more talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, Sluggy, big artists used to release an album every 3 years, every 4 years.
Yeah.
Usher used to take 5 years sometimes. Michael Jackson used to take 6 years sometimes. And the reason why it would take so long is sometimes that artist had to... Huh?
Prince too.
Yeah. Artists used to have more time to go off, learn and discover a whole set of new experiences, and then create a body of work to reflect where they are. In these times now, the music coming out a lot quicker.
It's more
a conveyor belt kind of situation where it's like, we want an album every year. You gotta make these songs fast. So I feel like that does affect sometimes the quality.
And it's what you said about the attention spans too. Like our generation have very short attention spans, so we don't want to continue waiting and waiting and waiting. You see people like there's be rioting over Kendrick because Kendrick didn't put his album in 2017, and people it's 2020 and people still like
that's a great point. And J. Cole.
Exactly. So
that's a great point. Ronnie, we can hear Bandis.
Yeah, sure you can. You ready?
Yes, now we're talking about Gibbsy Dan.
Yeah.
All right, everybody
introduce
on mute.
Introduce the song, please.
Right, so People of Barbados, this is a song that I am very proud of. It actually came out 3 years ago, so I'm glad it gave you the recognition that I deserve now.
Ronnie, we can hear Bandis.
Yeah, sure you can. You ready?
Yes, now we're talking about Gibbsy Dan.
Yeah.
All right, everybody
introduce
on mute.
Introduce the song, please.
Right, so... People of Barbados, this is a song that I am very proud of. It actually came out 3 years ago, so I'm glad it gave you the recognition that I deserve now. It's a song that does encompass everybody's struggles that ever catch a vine, even if it's 2 times or 100 times. You can hear something in here you could probably relate to, so I present to one of Vine Days.
Bang!
To wait. I irate, but I passive aggressive. I met my Facebook, I rant in a status. I start to panic, we lost half hour. Then the woman holler from the shower.
Don't bother my son, then drop me.
Praise be to Jah. We drive off again, then he look back and ask me. We skip up, you going to? Cause right now, I about to turn wrong. But just so, look again out. You got to pay me though, I start to freak out. Pay for what? You can forget that. If I can call and complain to
story of mine. Be wary of empty vans after no time.
I had enough fun this. Let me get a cure. Escape me madness. Long time we pass the van face. Give me a second hand answer. Even a dancer. So many things I can't do. The guy in the driving, the guy through the drive through. Honestly, I had enough. Let me tell you, van life rough. So when landing the van, start to catch a silver sands. All you hear,
loving already, loving already, red man.
Four conductors for me, grabbing up my hand. I trying to survive this Rastaman avalanche. I run in late, ain't got no time to waste. A van moving off, I run a jump in there. I feel in relief, I barely get to space. Now I realize the conductor boxed it in my face. Anyways, at least I'm moving fast. Blazing that mixtape from DJ Father Crab. The van ram like Peter, but this ain't too bad. But every time we stop, more people getting crammed. Then this old man start behaving real bad. He holla,
young boy, you feel that dizzy, I'm sad. I can't even get the bus fare from out my pants. Stop packing this van, you from Pakistan.
Bare laughter bust out. Police passing, everybody ducked out. Now my legs catching cramp. I can't get in the air, my shirt feeling damp. Plus I squeeze right on this musty man. I starting to feel like I'm in the Roberts band. I hear suffocating, can't breathe at all. And then you hear, yeah people met when the south small. Now he forcing some tourists. The van swell, the door barely closing. It's a burst, the conductor can get back inside. Hear how my man improvise, right? My man went with the passenger window. Grab all the handrail with both hands and bring up. He needs to hit chest and keep that position until the next bus stop. This man's a ninja. So when I get out, all my shirt to wrinkle up. Pants twist up, circulation freak up. Now I late for my job interview. I can call and I had the room to move. Either way, loud music the playing, so them still won't be able to hear what I'm saying. That's it, I really had enough. I gonna get a car, I tell you so because
I had enough on this. Let me get a car, escape me madness. Long time we pass the van face. Give me a second hand answer, even a dancer. So many things I can't do. The guy in the...
Time, of course, 22 minutes to 6 o'clock. We got Sluggy in the team, and everybody should be commenting by now.